Welcome to episode 37 of Thomas and the Bible, Book of Numbers, chapter 22. Let's just get started here. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. That doesn't sound so bad, really. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. So he's afraid. So Moab right now is afraid of all the Israelites. Just imagine how many of them there were before, you know, they questioned God 80 times and he killed hundreds of thousands of them. There must have been billions of them just wandering around killing people. And so this guy Moab is afraid. And he sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, I don't know, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they... Oh, gosh, dang it. Gotta pull out my different source here. I don't know why this... I might have to just get a new site, because this one keeps cutting off the verses. It's really annoying. So how you doing? Yeah. They cover the face of the earth, and they... And they abide over against me. Okay, moving on. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So this guy's just appealing to this other guy, Balaam or something, saying, come help me, because everyone that you bless is blessed, and everyone that you curse is cursed. He's sort of kissing up to him. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent them to me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them, peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. So wait a minute, God is just talking to this guy? He's not even an Israelite. So it's too hard for God to talk to all his chosen people that he wants to believe in him. But he can just go ahead and just chat away with this guy for some reason. I don't know. And this guy doesn't even seem fazed. He's like, oh, hey, what's up, God? Yeah, no, there's these guys talking to me about killing all your people. You know, I don't know if you had a problem with that or something, but. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. I wonder if Balaam just made all this up because he didn't want to make the drive over there to kill all the Israelites. He's like, nah, let's see, do I feel like doing that? No, let's see. God talked to me and said I shouldn't, so let's just not. Maybe later, but nah. Also, who is telling this part of the story? Did Balaam and Moses become friends later, and that's how Moses knows this? Like, I'd be curious. Maybe that's the case. We'll have to read on, but... But if not, I sort of keep that in the back of your head, like, well, how does Moses know this part of the story? Well, then again, I guess you could just say God told him to write it or something. Whatever. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And so Balak's like, oh, he said no to these princes? Well, let me send these princes. Those were my crap princes. That was my B team of princes. I'm going to send my A team. Mr. T and the rest of my princes here. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. Is he asking him out, or is he asking him to go kill? I don't know. For I will promote thee unto a very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Wink, wink. Come, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. How has this guy been in contact with the Lord his God this whole time? Is he? I don't understand how like God has like sleeper agents around the world. So he has his chosen people he's talking to, and then a bunch of people that he hasn't talked to. So he's like, ah, screw them. You can kill them. But then he's got select people. It's just so it doesn't make sense. Also, whatever the Lord did for this guy to say that he's the Lord his God, you know, why doesn't he just do that with everyone who's not an Israelite? Then everyone could be the chosen people. Can't we all just get along? I don't know. I don't understand the math of how some people in this biblical world here are godless heathens and others aren't. I don't get it. Now, therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night, and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning, and saddled his ass, and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were the ones. I don't get this. This is kind of confusing. I don't know if God's just schizophrenic, but he says, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. That's what he says. One verse later, Balaam goes with them, and it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. What? Balaam must be incredibly confused. But you told me to go with. Why are you mad? Why are you mad at me? You told me to go. Did you not tell me to go with them? Did I hear that wrong? Also, you're God. Wouldn't you know that I heard that wrong? Anyway, sometimes I think God's just like a pissy like girlfriend or something. And he's like, what God actually? I guess. Hold on. We'll go back and reread that. What he actually said was. Let's see. He said, if the men come to call thee, then whatever, fine. Rise up, go with them. Go with them if you want. I don't care. Are you sure? Yeah. If you want to go with them, you just go with them. I'm fine. It's okay. You just, just go with your friends like you always do. Whatever. So Balaam goes, and then he's like, I can't believe you went. What? Didn't you just tell me that I could go? You know, that kind of thing. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further, and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either right hand to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. This is all really compelling reading here. Okay, I get it. The donkey sees the angel, but the guy doesn't. Like, wow, that's so funny, or something, or profound, or what. Was this like first attempts at slapstick, you know, like Laurel and Hardy type humor? It follows the rule of threes, you know, three times the ass sees the thing and turns around, and then the studio audience is like, oh, the guy doesn't see the angel there, and he turns around, and he hits him, he turns around again, and he hits him. It's so funny. Oh, he's gonna do it again. He's gonna do it. I don't know what the point of this is. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And he says this not apparently not the least bit surprised to find a talking donkey, you know, conversing with him. It really was a different time, I guess. It's not the least bit surprised. He's just, and he says he's going to kill him. Like, if I was riding a donkey that started talking to me, I'd be like, first I'd say, holy crap. I'd say, no, I imagine that. And then, you know, if it persisted, so you're a talking donkey? I'm going to make a fortune. Not, yeah, I'm going to kill you, you talking donkey that's mysteriously intelligent. What? Anyway. So God's talking out of his ass. That's what happened. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Oh, that's more comedy. The guy said, nay, like, nay, you know, like, oh, jeez. This chapter's gold. And the Lord, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, which I hope is not a euphemism. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. This is so the angel right now is like, what are you doing? Why are you hitting your ass? Because, you know, if your ass hadn't turned around, then I would have killed you both. It's like, okay, so I should be thanking my ass that you didn't kill me? How about you just, if you would have just shown yourself to me, then I could have avoided you, you know? And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. And Balaam said, okay, are you sure this time? Do I actually, really? Am I really going to? No, I won't go. I fell for this last time. I'm staying home. I'm staying home tonight with you. We'll have a nice time, watch a movie, and it will be fun because I don't want to go through the shit that we went through last time. But only the word that I speak, that I shall speak. Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjathuzoth. Well, that's just some sort of joke. That's not a real. And Balak offered oxen and sheep, and sent to Balaam, and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Mm-hmm. So, end of that chapter. Let's go on to the next one here. All right. Chapter 23, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he sheweth me I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. This is actually one of those little translation problems. What it actually meant was And he went to go get really high, but, you know, he went to a high place as close as they could really get it. It's an idiom. So he's like, yeah, no, prepare me all the bullocks and rams and all that. I'm going to go get high over here. And we're going to eat all these bullocks and rams. Seven of them, dude. Seven of each. Oh, I'm going to kill them. Oh, I'm just going to destroy those things. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared seven altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. The guy's like, oh, thank God. I smelled it from over there, dude. And the Lord put a word into Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said, what did he put in his mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place from whence thou mayst see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them at all, and curse me them from hence. So what's happening here is Balak keeps pressuring Balaam to go kill the Israelites, and Balaam keeps talking to God, and God says, nah, don't kill the Israelites, and Balaam's like, I'm not going to kill the Israelites. And so God really could have just cut out the middleman and just appeared to Balak and said, hey, we're going to go ahead and not kill the Israelites. And then Balak would have been like, okay, I guess. And saved us pages and pages of shenanigans here. But no. And he brought him into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And Balaam said, dude, I am stuffed from the last, 14 animals we ate. I don't know, man. I appreciate it, but I already ate. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say this. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? Balaam said, well, I've got some bad news and some bad news. He really hasn't changed his mind a whole lot since 10 minutes ago when I last asked him. He's still pretty set on us not killing all his people. So you're pretty much boned. But good news, we got all these rams and bullocks to eat, I guess. I mean, that's good. What do you want to do? Yeah. Balak's like, he took his parable. Okay. And he took his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink the blood of the slain. So in so many words, Balaam said, no, not going to kill him. They're doing quite well. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh that I must do? And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee to another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. Wow, is this really happening right now? Balak is actually just taking Balaam from place to place to see if, you know, it'll change God's mind. Like, oh, really? And you're not going to... This last time it was like, oh, and God's people shall rise as a lion and kill all everybody else. You know, he's like prophesizing, about God's people. And Balak's like, oh, man, let's try over there. Maybe over if we set up the altar. Everybody move the grab the altars. Got seven of them, and if you can revive the rams and the bullocks, because frankly we're running a little low, and we got to sacrifice seven of each every time. So let's move it over there up to that hill. Now Balaam, you're gonna when we go up here, you're surely going to be able to curse the people. So let's go up. It's a little bit of a hike. Where did I leave off? Oh yes. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here seven altars, and prepare me here seven bullocks and seven rams. Yeah, so Balaam's going to go with it, too. He's like, well, all right, I'll try. Balak's like, crap, I'm fresh out of altars. It doesn't fail. It could be any time that I'm actually recording this during the day, because I didn't have time last night, which is when I normally record it. And it's still just making me yawn. Just any time I read it, just instant yawn reaction. Like, this is the boringest book. And Balak did as Balaam had said, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. That's the end of that chapter. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as other times, to seek for enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted his eyes, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, it's really repeated it that many times, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. So because their tents are so good, then they're good people and their tabernacles. As the valleys are, they spread forth, as the gardens by the river's side, as the trees of the lign, I've never heard of that word, of line, maybe. It's like a line, but without the A-L, so it's like line, ligon. As the gardens by the riverside, as the trees of line goes, aloes, whatever, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the waters, he shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than a gag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones, and but words shall never hurt them, and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion, and as a great lion, who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. What exactly is Balak not getting here? Like, does Balaam... Does Balaam just need to sit him down to say, Balak, the gentleman I keep talking to in the clouds over there, he's the all-powerful God who rules every molecule in this universe. So I'm going to go ahead. When he says to do something, I'm just, no offense to you or yours, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it because I figure all-powerful God versus you, you know, slightly in the favor of all-powerful God as far as who I'm going to listen to. So no hard feelings. You know, does he just need to say that? Then Block says, all right, let's try over there. If we move, everybody, if we move the altars over there, thinking a little east up there, up the hill, upwind, maybe. There's better view over there, some trees. You know, he just doesn't get it. Therefore, now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Yeah, what is Balak not getting? He just said, well, I was going to promote you and give you honors, but I guess if God is going to hold you back, then okay, if you're really going to let God hold you back. And Balaam's like, yeah, that's it. I'm God. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Yeah, that's a good question. He told him originally, no matter what you give me, I'm not going to go against the Lord. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up his parable, so he's going to say, well, hold on, let's find out. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Oh, for his, I guess, for Balak's or whatever. I don't know. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth in the city. And when he looked up on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites and took up his parable and said, strong is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted, and that will be their downfall, until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up his parable and said, alas, why does he keep putting down his parable? It seems like he's just going on a parable, you know, rant here. He just needs to keep with that. Alas, who shall live when God doeth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Chittim, and shall afflict Asher. And Chittim and Asher. And shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. So not much to say about the end there. Balaam just had a huge prophecy for no reason about how the Israelites are going to rule the world. And then Balak it says Balak also went his way. He's like, all right, whatever, I get it. You're not going to go against the Lord. Fine, they're going to kill us all. All right, whatever. Chapter 25, final chapter. This might be a short podcast just because the reading was sort of smooth and just telling a little crappy story. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Well, yeah, there you go. Well, the name of the place was probably a bad start there, Shittim. That probably is not going to inspire the greatest personality, you know, the greatest qualities in people. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Oh no, other gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Now, if we know anything about this god, it's that he's a jealous god, and if you worship any other god, he'll destroy you. And Israel joined himself... And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. So God leaves them alone for 10 seconds, and they instantly start worshiping other gods. Seriously, in the whole history of chosen peoples throughout all time, this is easily the least deserving, the biggest piece of crap people. They're just sacks of crap. They've had all these miracles performed for them. They've been killed for not believing. They've all this crap has happened. They've had God help them win wars, and then they sit down in a town called Shittim for a little bit, and they're like, "Well, you know, these guys have these other gods. Let's give a try. Maybe worship them a little bit." There's no way that is true. That can't be real. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel." That sounds pleasant. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, "Slay ye every one of his men that were joined unto Baal-peor." Another massacre of his own people coming up here. And once again, I'm sure it will mysteriously not affect their population in the slightest bit. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianite-ish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel in the tent and thrust both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. Huh, wow. So just a spontaneous murder of a couple people in a tent. Perfectly moral. And bam, the congregation was cured of a plague. Yep. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. Wow. Okay. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace." I wonder if what happened was a guy, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, just all of a sudden, just unprovoked, just ran into a tent, murdered two people. And God's like, "Good job." He actually says, God says, "I have stayed the plague because, you know, he did that for me." He was really, he's a go-getter, you know. He's got a future in this business, in this company. He's really self-initiated. He just went up and just murdered people in my name. You know, I wouldn't have necessarily murdered them myself. I'm not going to say I wouldn't have, but I might not have. But, you know, he just took it up anyway, just took up the cause. And acted on my behalf, and I think he deserves a promotion for that. But I wonder if there's possibly a different explanation here. What if this Phinehas was actually just like a jealous lover of this girl, and just, or the guy, but probably the girl, and just saw them together in a tent and just murdered them in a rage, and then Moses or whoever. Just saw the situation, just whipped, and was like, "Okay, crap, we got to come up with something. All right. Let's say there's a plague going on, right? Yeah, there's a plague. Okay, I heard about that plague. Let's say that the plague was punishment for whoredom. I think I saw one of the other Israelites with a doll or something. We'll just say it was an idol. It was an idol of some kind. They were worshiping another god. Say that. And this doesn't leave this tent, by the way. And so the plague was punishment, let's say. And Phinehas was sort of inspired to go murder these two sinners who are big sinners. And because of that, the plague was stayed. Yes, okay. Okay, Phinehas, this is the last time anything like this happens. I'm going to cover you this once, but that is it, okay? Okay, everybody, break. Go. And he shall have it, and his seed... Okay, so he's giving Phinehas his covenant of peace. And he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Yeah, he made an atonement of killing other people. That's he really... Good on him. Now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with a Midianitish woman, was Zimri, son of Salu, a prince of a chief house among the Simeonites. And the name... This is just covering just logistics here, just mentioning who the people were that were murdered. Just so it's written down somewhere. And the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbi, the daughter of Zur. He was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Vex the Midianites and smite them, for they vex you with their wiles, wherewith they have beguiled you in the matter of Peor and in the matter of Cozbi, the daughter of a prince of Midian, their sister, which was slain in the day of the plague for Peor's sake. And we don't get to find out what happens next, because that's the end of today's reading. Wow, that was a world record podcast. But I thought it was a solid one, just kind of short. Well, let's see, what else can we talk about? Anything else going on with God or anything that you guys... Is he writing another book or anything that we could talk about? No. Yeah, screw it. We'll just cut it short here. Just see you next week for the rest of the Bible. Yeah, for the stunning finale of the Bible. Read the rest of the 500 pages. okay. Well, as usual, reviews on iTunes, retunes on iViews is what I was going to say. Retunes on iViews are very helpful. And I saw another new one, so thanks a lot for that. And keep it up. And, oh, I'm actually going to start up another podcast with my brother. That's more going to be just a sort of a comedy. Just a couple atheists complaining about everything, pretty much. Just, it's more of it, less of a, like, this is, you know, more structured with the Bible and stuff. More, we're just a couple of people who like to complain about shit. So we're going to do that. It's called F This, the podcast. So that pretty much sets the tone right there. It'll be a little more... Well, okay, I'll put it this way. There are a lot of great skeptic and atheist podcasts out there. There are. But all of them have this tone and this feeling of just being really... really cautious, and I understand that, and that they should be. They're really careful, really not non-judgmental, but still, like, you know, skeptical. They're definitely, I'm not saying they're open to stupid ideas, they're still skeptical, but they're very nice, let's just put it that way. But we're gonna do something, and it's not just dealing with atheism, it's gonna be a lot of other little things just for fun, but it's mainly going to be, you know, complaining about religious people, what's going on in religion in the world, and from more of a laid back kind of comedic angle, not as strict and that kind of thing. So that's called F This, the podcast. I'm not sure if it'll be up by the time this podcast airs, but look for it in the next couple of days, certainly the next week, on iTunes. And yeah, that'll do it. Okay, so I'll see you guys next time. Bye.